welcome. If this is your first time worshiping with us, we just want to say thank you so much for joining us. Amen. It's good to have you. We'd love to connect with you. Just head to the Welcome Center if you haven't had a chance already, and we've got a small gift for you, just a few points of information that we'll collect from you. If you're worshiping online, you can do the same by going to the bit.ly link that you see on your screen right now. Love to just connect with you. Amen. A few announcements. This Saturday is our Section 3 Men's Stakeout. It begins at 4 p.m. All the men, oh, one guy's excited. All the men in the house, woo-woo. Amen. Join other churches from around the local area. There's going to be a bilingual service starting at 4 p.m. in the sanctuary, followed by grilling outside. So bring your own steak and get ready for some good fellowship, hanging out with other brothers in the Lord. Amen. Amen. And this Sunday, we've been announcing it for several weeks now, but Summer Fun Fest, our annual church picnic. Amen. Celebrating 80 years of ministry here at Calvary Gospel. It's going to be an awesome time together. A worship service starting at 10 a.m., followed by the food and fun outside. So show up at 10 a.m., not 11 if you're normally an 11 a.m.er. If you show up at 11 a.m., show up at 10 this Sunday. Amen. Couple key points. If you have kids and they're going to be at the Sand Mountain, or you got friends that you want to watch play sports, well, bring a lawn chair. It'll save your back, and it'll give you some relaxation while your kids are having fun, while your friends are having fun. You can watch them. Bring a lawn chair out this year. And then there is no water fight this year, so leave your motorized water guns at home. Amen. And it's still going to be an awesome, fun time. Lots of activities. Still plenty of invitation cards if you want to grab one on your way out. Invite someone over the next couple days and bring them to Sunday. They will be blessed. Amen. And then next week, Friday, August 9th, all church prayer at 7 p.m. How many enjoyed this month's prayer meeting? What a great time in the Lord. Amen. Did a little revamping, and so we'll continue that trend next Friday, August 9th at 7 p.m. You don't want to miss it. Amen. If you would stand with me, amen. We want to go before the Lord in prayer tonight. Pastor Jessica is having some struggles with a ligament or a tendon issue in her leg, and is having some trouble walking. And so we want to pray all these leg issues with the pastors. So let's pray for her. She's resting at home, following advice of just resting and icing, and that's hard for many of us. But let's pray for her tonight. Anyone else have a situation, circumstance you want to indicate? Lifted a hand. Hi, Jessica. You're watching online. We're praying for you right now. So, yes, you can pray for yourself. Amen. As you're worshiping with us online. Anyone else got a situation? I'm sorry. Got distracted. Thanks, John. Amen. Let's look around. Notice a hand. Amen. Call out their name, brothers and sisters, tonight. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, so much that we could be in this place, Lord God, Jesus. Lord, better is one day, Lord, in this house, Lord God, than 1,000 elsewhere. Lord, we're so thankful that we can come in here. Lord Jesus, God, Lord Jesus, we thank you, God. We can join together. We can worship you, Lord Jesus. We can praise your name, Lord God. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much, God. We pray you touch Pastor Jessica, Lord. Heal her, Lord Jesus, right now, God. We pray you touch her, Lord God, Lord Jesus. Touch whatever's going on causing this pain, Lord God, in the tendons or ligaments. And just heal her, Lord, right now. Let that healing, Lord Jesus, warmth just overshadow her right now at home, Lord God, that she'll be here Sunday, God. We pray, God, you saw that I lifted hands tonight, God. Minister, God, Lord Jesus, in every need, every circumstance. God, we pray. We're so thankful. We're so grateful. Lord Jesus, we praise your name. Hallelujah. Let's go. Let's worship together tonight.
If we could just all lift our hands. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, mighty God. Thank you, God, for this time that we can come and worship you, God, in spirit and truth, Lord Jesus. We worship you for who you are, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. express all my gratitude.
I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, but you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah.
Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Come on, my soul.
Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a you've got a lion inside of those.
Like the words of that song, because maybe you've had a day like me, or maybe your week has been like mine, and you come into church like, I don't know what I've got for tonight, but I can raise my hands and say hallelujah. Let's do it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are good. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, you are worthy, God. You are so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Before you're seated, I want to read a verse, and I want to give a quick announcement here. Pastor Phil wanted me to mention that Summer Fun Fest is casual attire. Okay? So you may see people in tie-dye shirts. You might see people in Crocs, right? They might have nice athletic stuff on. It's casual, you know. Be comfortable, okay? Praise God. Okay, we're going to read tonight from Matthew 21, verse 12. Matthew 21, verse 12. And verse 13. This is what it says. Jesus went into the temple to throw out all those buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. Verse 13, he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves." It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves. Before we sit down, can we just pray that God is the center of this service tonight? Not the preaching, not the music, but that God is. God has something for all of us tonight. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your presence, God. Lord, let your presence come down and anoint this word, your word, God. God, anoint our hearts and ears, God, to hear it. God, let us be good soil, God. God, we bind any distractions, God, any intimidation that would come against the receiving of your word tonight. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You can be seated. Matthew 21, verse 12. Pastor Jerry, if you could put that back on the screen. We've read the story. It's only two verses in Matthew. It's two verses in another one of the Gospels. And John tells another different version of a different time this happened. But it's the story. And all we know is that Jesus went into the temple and he threw out all those buying and selling. Okay? He went into the temple. So there were people, that's what we can learn from this verse. There were people buying and they were selling in the temple. We also could tell that he overturned the tables of the money changers. So there were money changers there too. And the chairs of those selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves." I think so often I've read this verse and I quickly think, yes, we should not be selling people's wares in the back. If I came in here, or Pastor Roy, good to see you, Pastor. Pastor Roy came in here for prayer one night and Jordan was sitting up here selling drumsticks or something. I think that would be bad, right? I think that's what the verse was meaning, right? We also see the story. And we see that Jesus, I mean, this is not a, this is me, tell me if I'm wrong here, but I don't see Jesus walking to me like, "Hey guys, you know, just gotta move this money changing table a little bit." No, he's like flipping over tables. This is a Jesus that is excited in a negative way. He is angry. He's flipping tables. He's mad about something. And I can't believe it's just that people were buying and selling. That's the root of the problem. But that wasn't the problem that he was addressing in the moment. He says, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer." Jesus realized, he's preaching to all of us, not just them, but he's like, prayer is important. Prayer is important. It's not about the doves and the tables. It's not about the chairs. Prayer is important. And he's trying to show us, like, if we've ever seen him get emotional and get super, like, super excited about something, this is one of the more, like, I don't even know the word that I want to use, passionate, right? One of the more zealous times where you see Jesus just like, ah, he goes full Hulk mode on these tables. Because he's trying to prove a point of how important prayer is. He's trying to prove a point about the focus that we should have in the house of God. The focus is about prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. When you talk about my temple, it's going to be a house of prayer. When you talk about my church, it is a house of prayer. And when we start thinking about prayer, he's essentially saying, listen, this whole thing was designed for me to connect with you. Prayer is me conversing, talking, connecting with God on some level. Sometimes it's silently, right? Sometimes it's verbally. Sometimes I'm listening. Sometimes I'm talking. Prayer is connecting with God. And it started so long ago. It started in the Old Testament, right originally. So we know that Genesis, God and man were close and they were walking together in the garden. They were connected. And then man sins. And now the evilness that sin brings into life, the death that sin brings, cannot be anywhere near an all-powerful, holy, perfect God. And so there has to be separation from that God. But God says, hold on, this isn't going to last. I still want that connection. And so he devises a plan. Well, the long plan is that he's going to come back and die on a cross and be a sacrifice. But before that, he says, okay, I want you to build a tent inside of a barrier and put a bunch of stuff in it. And this is the way you're going to get to connect with me. So he had him build this big, like a fabric fence with posts, okay? And then you walk in, and there's a big, giant altar where you would sacrifice things. And then after that, there's an area with water where the priests would wash up before they go into the tent. And that tent was the holy place. And inside that tent, there's two rooms. And you go from the holy place where there's bread, there's candles, the candlesticks, and there's the altar of incense, all things that they would do in their path to get to God. In their path to the moment where they would cross through the veil and be in the holiest of holies, and they would be connecting with God. They would hear from God for their people. These are the priests. And so what you're seeing in this tent and in this fence is you're not seeing a building and a fence. You're seeing a process by which we can come close to God. Right? And so it's that tent was the tabernacle or dwelling place. Later on, as it started, Solomon started calling it the temple. That's when it was made out of stones. Right? A place where man could come close to God, where man could hear from God and connect to God. And the thing about this tent when it was built is it was built in the center of the community. The focus of everybody when you woke up in the morning, your tent was facing God. God, connecting with God, hearing from God was the center of their life. Prayer is the center of our life. Prayer is the center of this church. That's why Jesus gets excited. He's like, you're losing the focus, people. You've lost the focus. You've made it about selling and buying and hanging out with your friends and talking. It's about Jesus. Oh, but we got to preach. No, it's about Jesus, but we got to sing. It's about Jesus, but we need, we need all of these things. We need pews. We need good warm spots. We live in Wisconsin, but it's ultimately about Jesus. It's about connecting with Jesus, and they forgot that. They saw it as a building that you come into at the end of the week. And if it's just a building you come into at the end of the week, then you can sell things there. If it's just a building you come into at the end of the week, then you can just goof off and talk when important things are going on. If it's just a building you come to at the end of the week, then it doesn't really matter if you show up at all. In this passage, Jesus actually quotes when he says, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves. He quotes from two different passages in the Old Testament. The first one is Isaiah 56. And I'm just going to read verse 6 and 7. It's a longer chapter, but it says, as for the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to become his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold firmly to my covenant. So pause. He's saying, even the foreigners who join themselves, the strangers, anybody that's willing to come serve and make me a priority and make me a focus of their life. Now we go to verse 7. I will bring them to my holy mountain and let them rejoice in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Now, in this verse in the Old Testament, God speaking through the prophets, it almost feels like the point of this verse is to say that everyone's welcome. That's what it feels like. It's like all nations can come. If you are willing to make God the focus, you just come right in here because everything is going to be accepted. But Jesus quotes it and leaves that part out. Doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't want all nations. I think he's trying to prove more of the point that prayer is the focus. It doesn't matter who it is or who comes in. Prayer is the focus. Everyone's welcome, but prayer is the focus. Jesus is the center. It literally says, who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to become his servants. It does not say those who come to the temple once a week and buy their doves and sell their doves and goof off in the corner and play dice and goof, right? It says the people that make me a focus, I will bring them to my holy mountain. For my house is a house of prayer for all nations. The second part where he says, you have made it a den of thieves, comes from Jeremiah 7, starting in verse 9. And it says this. Do you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely? Wow, those are small words. Do you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and follow other gods that you have not known? Then do you come and stand before me in this house that bears my name and say, we are rescued so we can continue doing all these detestable acts? He's saying, you're doing what you want during the week, and then you just come to church. I'm like, I'm here. Everything's good now. It's just a building. He's telling them, it's just a building. You're just seeing it as a building. Has this house, verse 11, which bears my name, become a den of robbers in your view? Yes, I too have seen it. This is the Lord's declaration. Return to my place that was at Shiloh, where I made my name dwell at first. See what I did to it because of the evil of my people Israel. Now, because you have done all these things, this is the Lord's declaration, and because I have spoken to you time and time again, but you wouldn't listen, and I have called to you, but you wouldn't answer. When this building becomes not about Jesus, we stop hearing from God. When this building does not become a house of prayer, does not become a place, is not a place that the focus is on Jesus, we stop hearing from God because he stops talking. You know, if I'm ever, my wife's not even here. If I'm ever riding in the car with my wife and she's trying to talk to me and I'm on my cell phone, one of two things will happen. Eric knows what they are already. One, I'm going to get the get off your cell phone. Or two, she's going to stop talking. And not in the good way. Not that there's a good way. Don't take that out of context. But God said, this place is about me. It's about my name. This is a house of prayer. And if you're not going to make it about me, what? If you're not here for me, then I'm not here for you. Because I have spoken to you time and time again, but you wouldn't listen. I'm going to add the paraphrase here. Because you were selling your doves and selling your stuff, and you were busy, and you were worshiping the Baals, and you were out there doing your stuff on the week and coming in here on the weekend and barely even paying attention. Because of that, you wouldn't listen. And I've called you, but you wouldn't answer. What I did to Shiloh, I will do to the house that bears my name, the house in which you trust, the place that I gave you and your ancestors. And this is hard. I will banish you from my presence, just as I banished all of your brothers, all the descendants of Ephraim. This is hard to read God's word sometimes. Jesus is saying, this is the house of prayer. You're making it a den of thieves. My good friend, Phil's good friend, Chad GPT. No, I'm just kidding. That was good, Phil. I liked that. That was really good. What is a den of thieves? You ever thought about that? If you're a thief and you're out there thievering, right? You're out there thieving, and you spend all day thieving. Where do you go when you're done? Back to your den, right? If you're a group of people and you're out there thieving, and you get done thieving for the week, you go back to where? Your den. You go back to your den. It's the home base for criminals. It's where they return to after their evil acts. And Jesus is saying, this is your home base. You return here after your evil acts. Your focus isn't on me. And even out there, your focus isn't on me. It's just a building. It's just a place you show up to once a week or once a year, whatever they did. There's no reverence. There's no instrument for change. They don't go to this building and say, you know what, God, I've had a bad week. I'm a sinner. I've failed, but I need to be changed. And the building and the focus on Jesus, nothing propels them to change. It's not about that. It's about just showing back up to their den. I don't know what kind of, you know, you got flocks and herds and gaggles or whatever you call it. I don't know which one is called the den, but whatever animal that is, right? That group. Church, we don't want to be the den. This place is not a den. This is not where we come back to after we've done all of our bad stuff. Yes, we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. And I guarantee you, all of us will probably sin tomorrow. But what he's talking about is that this building means nothing to you. I have built this and created this to have connection with you, and it means nothing to you. Jesus is reiterating the importance of the temple being used for connection, for prayer, to talk to him and have us talk to him. For us to talk to him and him to talk to us. The temple, the process that we go through, the process that it was originally designed with, where we go through this temple and there's step by step of us getting closer to Jesus, of us getting closer to God. There's repentance, there's cleansing, there's sanctification, there's praise and worship, and there's this, like, it's not just a walk in the door and Jesus. There's a process. There's a process for being changed. There's a process for being closer to Jesus. And when we are not going towards Jesus, we're not following the process, at times his presence leaves. You can see it in the Old Testament. There's plenty of times. Go read Ezekiel. Presence leaves the temple because of the things they were doing in it. I'm not even going to read that chapter. That should have been, we could have done that whole chapter tonight. Or when the building is not important, when the temple is not important, when it's not about prayer, when it's not about connection with Jesus, his presence isn't going to have an effect because we've quit listening. And so he's quit talking. Haggai has a similar story. I'm going to try not to read the entire book of Haggai, but it's only two chapters and it's really good. So we'll see what we can do here. Haggai chapter 1, there's only two chapters, okay? Chapter 1, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and to the remnant of the people. So the Lord came to the prophet. Haggai is a prophet. The Lord comes to the prophet and says this, tell Zerubbabel and the governor, who is left among you who saw the house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Doesn't it seem to you like nothing by comparison? Oh, sorry, I started in chapter 2. Let's start over. Start over. We got to read this in order. Otherwise, it's going to be like a weird movie where we're jumping all around. Chapter 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel. See, same prophet, same God, same person he's talking to. The governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. The Lord of armies says this. These people, this is God talking. He's like, my people say, the time has not come for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. The word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Now the Lord said. So the people said, hey, it's not time. But I'm God, I'm the Lord of armies, and I'm saying, is it time for you yourselves to live in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Oops. Gulp. It's not time to build and rebuild and make my house a priority, but your houses are looking real good. You're making some money off those doves. Look at the money you're making off those goats. That's a nice table you're selling with there at the temple. You say it's not time for my house to be a priority, but all your houses are a priority. While this house lies in ruins. Now, the Lord of armies says this, think carefully about your ways. He's saying, okay, you don't think prayer is important. You don't think connecting with me is important, but your houses are important. Let's think carefully about your ways. Let's just God saying, hey, let's just think about something. Just step outside of your situation and ask yourself this. You've planted much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but you're never satisfied. You drink, but you never have enough to be happy. You put on clothes, but never get warm. You make money, but it just falls out the bag. It's wasted immediately. Verse 7, think carefully about your ways. Essentially, he's saying, everything you're doing isn't really working. Your focus is on your house, but when you plant, you're not getting all the harvest. When you eat, you're not really satisfied. When you drink, you never have enough to be happy. He said, I'm clearly not helping you. The blessings that come with being combined with me are not really in effect right now. I'm not even really with you. The Lord of armies says this, think carefully about your ways. Go up into the hills, bring down lumber, and build the house. And I will be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You expected much, but it amounted to little. When you brought the harvest to your house, I ruined it. Why? This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. Because my house still lies in ruins, while each of you is busy with his house. God is telling us that when we make his relationship important, when that is the focus of our life, everything else in our life will align and be better. You might think, hey, you know, I'm just not a good farmer. Or maybe the blessings of God are just sitting there just waiting. Maybe you're just a normal farmer like everybody else. But God's like, I got so much more than that. You know, I keep trying all these different things in life, all these videos and podcasts and media, and they're just not satisfying me. I keep needing to see one more. Just start with the YouTube shorts or a TikTok and tell me you can stop after 30 minutes. Right? I've been there. It's okay. And we're never satisfied. You expected much, but it amounted to little. You had these expectations that all these things you're doing mean something and that will give you something and you'll be fulfilled, but you're not, because I am not the focus. Because my house still lies in ruins while you're busy with your own house. I know it's easy sometimes to think when my house is done, then I'll start helping with God's house. I got to get my stuff in order so that I can worship. I got to get my stuff in order so I can pray. I got to get my stuff in order before I can start doing and serving and doing the things of God and serving him. And God's like, no, 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 no. That's why things are inefficient. Verse 10, so on your account, the skies have withheld the dew and the land it's cropped. Crops. I have summoned a drought on the fields and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the fresh oil, and whatever the ground yields, on people and animals, and on all that your hands produce. It sounds pretty bad for them. They've really focused on everything but the house of God. I think they're going straight to hell. Or God always gives us a chance. It's never too late for us. Even with everything he just said, where he's like, I've forgotten you. I'm not helping you. Verse 12, it says, and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the high priest, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and the entire remnant of the people obeyed the Lord their God and the words of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. And so the people feared the Lord. What did they obey? It says, go get there and start building my house. Get out of your houses and start building my house. And they obeyed. And what was the answer in verse 13? Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, delivered the Lord's message to the people. I am with you. My house isn't important. I'm not with you. My house is important. I am with you. Prayer is not important. I mean, I'm here. I love you. I care about you. I'm your father. But, like, prayer is important. You've got my entire backing behind you because you know my heart. You're praying and seeing what I see. You're hearing what I hear. You're looking at people the way that I look at people. I'm with you. And the Lord roused the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the spirit of the high priest, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they began work on the house of the Lord of armies, their God. In verse 2, I'm not going to read through the whole thing. It says, this is what I read before, who is left among you who saw the original house? Boy, this one doesn't look as good, does it? Sorry, he's saying, sorry, I said it backwards. How does it look to you now? Does it seem like nothing by comparison? Even so, be strong, Zerubbabel. This is the Lord's declaration. Verse 4. Be strong, all you people of the land. This is the Lord's declaration. Work! Exclamation point. For I am with you. Work! For I am with you. Verse 9, and it says, the final glory of this house, the final glory of this house will be greater than the first. It doesn't matter that you completely forgot about me and chose everything else, that you didn't even think my house was important to work on, that you felt like prayer was a waste of your time, or you just didn't do it, or you got too busy with life. He said, that's bad, but it doesn't matter if you follow me. Because the second house we're going to build is going to be better. The second house we're going to build is going to be better. The musicians can come up. Matthew 21 again. Jesus went into the temple and threw out all those buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer. But you are making it a den of thieves. To this point, we've talked about the temple. We've talked about the tabernacle. If you've heard me, we're talking about this building. But there's a verse that has to be noted here tonight. The Bible also calls us the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 says, don't you yourselves know that you are God's temple? And that the Spirit of God lives inside of you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy. And that's what you are. There's something about holiness here, people. Church people. There's something about holiness here. He said, this is an important place. Where God dwells is holy. Whether it's a tent or a stone building in Jerusalem, or a metal structure in Madison, Wisconsin, or inside this little jacket and shirt, where God dwells is holy. And if it's holy, there can't be unholy things there. And so now we go back and we read the story of Jesus with just a little different lens, and we close our eyes and we maybe imagine Jesus walking up to Peter Sandin and overturning the things in my life that I've set up as distractions. And flipping the tables of my priorities that aren't Jesus. And saying, Peter, my house is a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of thieves. You only come find me, you only come talk to me after you've done all this stupid garbage. After you've sinned and sinned and sinned. Yeah, Peter, I'm going to forgive sin, but you're not taking it seriously. Church, it's time for us to start fighting for our house of prayer. Jesus wasn't just telling us something. He was showing us something. He was saying, prayer is important, church. And so whatever tables you got to flip in your life, he said, come flip them. It's interesting that he said, my house is a house of prayer. And he started flipping the tables because he was so passionate about connecting with his God that he said nothing's going to get in the way of this truth, of this focus. And so if we are to follow Jesus, the same applies to us. I'm not cleaning out this house. I'm not driving to Jerusalem and cleaning out some stone house. I'm cleaning out this house. This needs to be a house of prayer. This needs to have a focus on Jesus. And we need to do it with passion. We just like, you know, I'm going to maybe just tonight I'll watch one last TikTok video. No, we got to do it vehemently, zealously, passionately, just like Jesus. And we're not going to be popular when we do it, just so you know, because David in the Psalms 69 says, I've become a stranger to my brothers and a foreigner to my mother's sons. Because zeal for your house has consumed me. Church, when we bring prayer back to our house, his presence returns. When we bring prayer back to this house, his favor returns. When we bring prayer back to this house, the things in our life that seem inefficient, when you're just dripping your money out of the bag and you don't know where it's going, and the seeds you're casting on the ground aren't turning into as many plants as you thought. When we bring prayer back to this house, his presence returns. When we make our house a house of prayer, God's presence is there and it's working on us. When prayer is the priority in our life, we start to hear from God. Let's stand tonight. There's parts of these verses that are very difficult. Parts of these verses that are very, you might call them judgmental. I might call them convicting. They might be challenging. And that's okay. We can have a father who loves us and a father who wants what's best for us and knows what's best for us and sometimes uses conviction to help us turn our ways. But these verses are also a message of hope because it doesn't matter how far gone these people seem. How little that building meant to them, how little a house of prayer was in their life, God said, if you'll just turn and start rebuilding that house, you'll start making a prayer a priority in your life. You'll start making prayer a priority in your family. You'll start making prayer a priority in this building. There's pre-service prayer every night, 40 minutes before church starts. 6:20 on Wednesday nights, and it's 9:20 on Sunday mornings. There's a prayer meeting on August 9th coming up here at 7 o'clock. If we will make prayer a priority, the second house will be way better. It's a message of hope, but it starts with some conviction because it takes conviction to turn us. The second house will be better than the first house. Church, this needs to be a house of prayer. This needs to be a house of prayer. It needs to be a place that is constantly connecting with God. Our homes, our lives, our temples need to be a house of prayer. As they begin to sing, this God's talking to us. It feels harsh at times, but God's talking to us. He's moving this church in a direction. And it starts with building. And building, I know what that's like. It's just one grain at a time, one brick at a time, one pebble at a time, one nail at a time. Don't try to build your house tonight, but just start walking and getting the wood for it maybe. This area is open. Come up to the front, sit in your seat and pray. Let's make this a house of prayer.
Seated on the throne. He was cold and glory, exalted high, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and the angels gathered around him. Oh, so You.
There's something I read, and I don't know who it was, but it's not me. They said the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And the building of a multi-million-dollar construction project usually begins with one shovel. And the building back of your house of prayer can start with a couple minutes. But it's a building. Praise God. God bless you tonight. God bless you the rest of this week as you build your house of prayer in your life, in your home. And we hope to see you on Sunday for Summer Fun Fest, 10 a.m. Bishop's going to be speaking. We're going to be celebrating our 80-year anniversary. Lots of fun and games. God bless you. Have a great week.